If you'd like to, go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Now, this is our song service, so we're more doing a invitation, message of encouragement. This isn't a very long message. So we're really going to be focusing in only on one verse of Matthew 14, but that we will take the time to do that, and that will set up what we're going to be talking about the next few weeks. In Matthew 14, if you're using the Red Pew Bible, that's page 1128, this event is taking place just after John the Baptist has been beheaded by Herod the Tetrarch. And so that's kind of the context for what we're about to discuss. I would like to tell you that one of the things that I encountered when I was growing up was I had exercise-induced asthma. Which basically what that meant was whenever I was running or playing or overly exerting myself, I would be running along and suddenly I couldn't breathe. It was a great time. They had the little rescue inhaler that I would take and I'd puff on it and stuff. And that, generally speaking, that took care of me, except for a few times. But one of the things that my parents said to me, and I'm pretty sure it was my mom and my dad, but they got the phrase into my head, catch your breath. And it's a phrase that I've borrowed, that I use all the time, and I especially use it in situations where people are agitated, when they're upset, when they're angry. Because what happens is if your pulse is racing, if you're running, if you're going really fast, you're having trouble breathing, what you need to do is catch your breath. You need to slow down. You need to calm down. And the amazing thing is, I think that applies to all of us. There is one time or another when we all need to just slow down, to calm down and catch our breath. Now, when you look at Jesus' example here, in Matthew 14, verse 13, this is when Jesus has just heard about John. So it says, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. Now, I want to focus on the first portion, obviously. But we are going to use that second portion, these people coming that are following Jesus from all over the place, these crowds that are going to be there, they're actually going to run ahead and meet Jesus at his location he's going. But we'll talk about that at the end of the lesson here. But that's going to be the setup for the feeding of the 5,000. What happens after Jesus' hearing of John the Baptist's death is that Jesus needs to get away. He needs to take a few moments to do what is necessary. The Bible doesn't tell specifically this is what this is about, this is why he was going away, this is why he's going to a secluded place. There's only two contexts. This one here in Matthew 14, and we'll talk about Mark 6 in a second. But those are the only two contexts we have for Jesus going to this secluded place. And in this first case, we're given to consider the idea that Jesus has just heard about the death of a family member. The death of a prophet of God, the death of a fellow worker, a believer, who the only reason he was put to death was because he told the truth. And so it's appropriate for us to consider this in the context of mourning. And that's something I think we do need to take the time to do. There's time when we get so agitated, we get rushing around, when something terrible happens, when it's something, a tragedy happens. We almost feel like we don't have time to mourn, to slow down, to consider that. One of the verses we talked about in our Wednesday Bible class is Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. See, just as the preacher says in the Old Testament, there is a time, an event, for every purpose under heaven. God has allowed us these things. We are going to face times when we need to weep. We're going to face time when we need to mourn. Likewise, to laugh and to dance. But we have to understand that both are applicable. And again, we do need to consider the fact of what Jesus says. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And again, there's a great spiritual application to that. But we do have to realize that people here mourn. People here do feel sad. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're allowed to feel sadness. You're allowed to recognize the sadness in other people. There's absolutely, think about that. When you think about Jesus and Lazarus, there's absolutely no reason for him to weep. He knows he's going to go raise him from the dead. And yet what happens when he sees the sorrow of other people? Jesus wept. We're allowed to have sorrow. We're allowed to feel that feeling of mourning. And that is one thing I think we can think about. We put this in the context of catching your breath. Now, there is another context, and I brought this up. If you look at Mark chapter 6, and I'll have the passage up here on the board if you don't want to turn to in your Bibles. But in Mark chapter 6, what has happened here is Jesus has sent out his apostles. And he sent them out, and they've gone out, and the 12 are sent out, and they're teaching all over the place. They're going to different places. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And then they come back to Jesus, and they start telling him about everything that went on. The apostles gathered together with Jesus. They reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. Now, I think we can relate to this. And again, in the context, this is Jesus dealing with his apostles. They've come back. They're trying to tell him. But they were successful. Does that make sense? What they did, they went out to preach, to teach, to talk to people, to work miracles, to work the miracles, wonders, and signs, to tell people about Jesus' coming. They were successful. They didn't come back by themselves. They had a crowd come. A crowd was around Jesus, and there were so many people there, they couldn't even eat. So yeah, they were successful, they were doing great, but they couldn't take the time to bite a sandwich. Have you ever been that busy where you feel like you're running and running and running and you don't have time to stop? You don't really have time to eat? You don't really have time to drink, or at least that's what you tell yourself? Yeah, I think we all have. And so what does Jesus do? He says, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. It doesn't remove everything that's happening with John the Baptist. But there's other things too. Jesus is thinking about his apostles. And understand here, you know, like we talked about, there's 70 people that follow Jesus from the time of John the Baptist's baptism of him all the way to the point where Jesus appoints Matthias. We know that there are 70 people that are with him the entire time. But the apostles, these ones that he sent out, he takes these 12 with him because they need it. They need to go away to a quiet place and rest. You know, I think sometimes we're afraid of that term, rest. You know, in Matthew 11, verse 20, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's also in the context of the 12 and Jesus dealing with the 12. So yeah, come to Jesus and he will provide rest to you. Now, the problem we have with rest is because we immediately think, or at least I a lot of times think of resting. How many people think about the sluggard verses? Right? Only me? I'm sorry. All right. Do you guys know what the sluggard verses are, right? The guy that's on his bed and he's like a door, he's a hinge. So in other words, he goes from his back to his belly to his back. I moved today, right? That's the one. That's one of my favorite ones. The other one's where the guy reaches his hand in the bowl and he's too lazy to bring it up to his mouth to eat, so it just sits in the bowl and he goes, "Oh, I am too weary." That's the sluggard. When we think about people being resting, it's like, boom, you're a sluggard. But that's not what we're talking about here, right? That's not the emphasis. Jesus is not promoting laziness. When he teaches about this in Luke 12, and remember, this is the man who builds the barn. He has all the wonderful goods that he could possibly have, so he's going to build more barns. And he says, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." He's going to relax. And his soul is required of him that night. That's not the relaxation we're talking about. We're talking about preparing ourselves to go back to work. We're talking about catching our breath, getting ourselves centered again so that we can keep going. And there's times when we need to do that. The Bible says, Psalm 51, verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit, a cry to God. You know, there's no other way that we're going to have the joy of salvation unless we honestly think about how God has provided it to us. That God is the one who is holding us up. God is the one who is lifting us up. Likewise, in Psalm 54, verse 4, it says, behold, God is my helper, and the Lord is the upholder of my life. God is the one who lifts us up. He is the one who allows us, when we need to rest, to be restored. And I would really like us to think about that. Because if our idea of rest is to separate ourselves from God and the church and the Bible, that's not rest. That's separation from God. And that's not where we need to be. Brethren, when Jesus is doing this, again, the context is Matthew 14, Mark chapter 6. This is right before he feeds these 5,000 people. Their intention is to go over here to a secluded place and rest. But you know what that crowd of people do? 5,000 men, not counting women and children. They run around the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure they didn't run both sides. But they ran around at least one side of the Sea of Galilee, ran ahead to the secluded place. So obviously this wasn't like a hidden fishing spot or something. They went to this secluded place. They knew where it was. They knew Jesus was going there. And they waited for him to get there. And Jesus may not have got all the time he wanted to. But what happened when he got out of the boat? He started healing them. And that leads us into next week. Because he was willing to work. And so my applications for this lesson, and again, hopefully this is a form of encouragement. The things we need to think about. First and foremost in our lives, we do need to make time for God. We need to make sure that out of everything we're doing, He is important to us. And if we're not setting time aside, if we're not focusing time on God, then we're kind of missing the point. Because if we make time for ourselves, which is our second application, that is something we definitely should be doing each and every day of our lives. But we're doing it not in the context that I'm going to go off here and again leave behind God, Jesus, the Bible, and I'm going to focus on Xbox for 8 hours. And the only thing I care about is Xbox and beating, name the video game. I don't know any modern video games, I'm sorry. But you know, beat the video game. That's what we're focused on. If that's the only thing we're focused on, we've missed the point. We go off by ourselves to let God help us, to let God work on us. And you can do a variety of things, right? You can go swimming, you can go running, walking. You can even watch TV. I mean, just keep in mind, be careful what you watch. Listen to music. But think about God. Think about what God has planned for me, for you. Think about it. Take time, make time for ourselves with God in the focus. Now here's the great thing about this in Mark 6. Right? We know this is the exact same time that Jesus hears about John the Baptist. We know that he wants to go to a secluded place. But what happens when he sees his apostles come and they can't even sit down to eat? He makes time for family. Whether it's our own personal family or whether it's our extended family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to make sure we're making time to help others have time for God. Make sure that we take the time to help others pray to God, to seek God, to provide for them a secluded place, a little break, where they can take the time to think about God and the many gifts He's given to us. And that's what we should be focused on. Please bow with me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we had the opportunity to come today to worship, to praise you, to consider your word. We understand, God, that you are a comforter, you are a provider, you are a protector. We know in this world we face stress and trials, and we ask that you help us to look to you in the midst of those things. Help us to trust in you to provide the avenues of comfort. And then help us, once we know those avenues are there, to walk in those ways, to assist others to do so. We thank you, Father, that you have given this to us. And we know at all times that you've laid this line out for us. If we are willing to follow it, if we are willing to walk it, you will not let us walk alone, but you will guide us on this path. Please be with us this week. Let us be an encouragement to others. Help us to be an encouragement to ourselves. It's in your Son's blessed name we pray. Amen. So for an invitation, if you're not a Christian, of course, this is the opportunity we take for you to begin your walk with God. Again, he doesn't want you to walk alone. But especially if you have troubles, if you have trials, if you have the stresses of this life, you have a great opportunity now to stop and to think about what God has provided. If you're not a Christian, when our brother Lane gets up to lead this song, come forward, and you can be baptized into Christ. You can partake of his death, his burial, his resurrection. You can become the new creation in Jesus. And again, you will not be walking alone. Christians, we don't walk alone. We walk with God. And again, we might not want to think about that there's a time to mourning, because mourning is sad. But there's also a time for joy. There's a time for every event under heaven. In God. Without God, it's all vanity. That's what the preacher teaches us. That's what Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15. If for any reason you're living your life right now without God, don't. We have an opportunity to pray for one another, the opportunity to be there for one another, to encourage one another. Let's take that opportunity. If you need prayers or if you want to talk to someone afterwards, please come see us. If the invitation applies to you, whether it be baptized into Christ or prayers for right now, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.